I wonder how the levels are on this thing. I guess one day I'm going to have to listen to myself talk. In the meantime, howdy and welcome to the podcast. My name is Mike. I am an artist. I am a photographer. And this is my podcast where we talk about photography on most days, like today. I'm broadcasting live from Albuquerque, New Mexico, in my RV, which I have sneakily disguised as a van life. Van lifer? Van lifey? But I just have a toilet and a shower and a stove and room to lay on the floor and things like that. And it is particularly messy today. I need to vacuum. I need to do a lot of things. It's freezing cold out there. I don't feel like doing anything. Which brings me to another point. If I had blonde hair and yoga pants, would I get as much grief about living the van life loca? I'm starting to think not. I'm starting to think not. It is glamorous, though. I am sitting within eyeshot of the Sandia Mountain Range and the Montgomery Avenue Chevron station right next to the Speedway, across the street from the Discount Tire, with a literal murder of crows that I feed trail mix to every day. I like to make friends with the birds because the birds eat the bugs and then there's less flies around to worry about. And RVs and flies are the worst. But anyways, how the heck are you doing? How are you making out? You selling stuff? The masks are gone. Here in New Mexico, they left on, what was it? February 17th, which means that tomorrow is going to be my first day without a mask because I heard, you know, they were going to drop the thing. And then I said, fine, I'll give it a shot. However, I'm going to continue to wear my mask for 2 weeks. I think it's been about 2 weeks. I can't count very well, so which is why I'm a photographer, not a mathematician. And the numbers haven't gone up here in New Mexico, but we also only have 2 million people in our entire state. There's 8 million people in the city that I used to live in, so there is a density. There is a definite advantage of density here in New Mexico than anywhere else. When you have miles between cities, like literal miles and miles and miles, and you don't have that transference. So tomorrow I'm going to adventure out because that was my crutch that I was leaning on the last 2 years, is that I just started my business and, I'm going to hold out until COVID is, air quote, over. I don't believe it's over. It's never going anywhere. Viruses don't die. They go dormant. They disappear for a little while, but they never really die. So tomorrow I'm going to venture out and say hi to a few people and sell some portraits, put up some signs, hand out some cards, make some friends, make some enemies, and do what I got to do. On that note, I was thinking of the beginner's guide to photography. I mean, early on, a couple years ago, when I first started looking for YouTube to help me move from film to digital, I noticed that there were no advanced photography videos. I mean, literal two or three. And I know that then it kind of dawned on me that the entire market for selling YouTube videos, and that's what they're doing, that's what McKinnon and Northrop and all of them are doing, is they're selling their videos in exchange for advertising money, and which is normal. It's a normal business model here in America. Nothing wrong with it. But there were no advanced, intermediate, photography level stuff. Now, Adorama is starting to push some of their older videos with some more advanced techniques and things like that. And Miguel Quiles from Jersey is putting out some good stuff for some more of the more advanced stuff, which they don't have half the viewership of the beginner. If you put beginner in front of anything on YouTube, you get pushed directly to the front. If you are blonde-haired with yoga pants on, you get pushed directly to the top of any beginner list of videos. So I figure I'd do my own beginner video deal here on the podcast. And if I could go back in time, number one, I would buy minimum $4,000 worth of DSLR. Had no clue to use it, no clue how it works, what the buttons do. I literally had never touched a DSLR before in my life. So learning the buttons was the killer for me. But 100% DSLR, high end, and then it's my job to catch up. Instead of going with some Canon T3 Rebel or some, tiny sensor Nikon or whatever, any Sony A7R, whatever, that doesn't have the stuff that you need, no battery handle, stuff you can't do with these these new mirrorless cameras. And I've always known, never buy a first-year car. So if I could go back in time, I would not buy the drone that I bought, and I would buy a DSLR, because I had the misdirected idea that I would still shoot film for my pictures, but use the drone for digital. And that was a totally naivete, rookie mistake to think that that would even halfway work. You cannot do production work on a film camera. Now, there are secret goals and aspirations for my company. However, I still have to pay the bills. So paying the bills with production portraits and product photography and stuff like that works out well. Now, part two, because I'm only doing two of these things. If I could go back in time to 2017 and tell Mike what to do with the money he has, I went out and bought a Inspire 2 drone. Everything I bought was sensible. There was nothing nonsense about what I bought. Everything I bought I needed, except for some of the video stuff, which I am able to work into the business, but on a much smaller scale. But I would definitely put $4,000 toward a Nikon D6. I think they're like $6,000 or $7,000. I would definitely buy one of those like right off the bat. But $4,000 will get you, a D810, D850, or whatever Canon's equivalent of a DSLR, not mirrorless, DSLR. The mirrorless cameras do not have the support that they need yet. Kind of like Tesla. Tesla is awesome as a car company, but it's just not there yet. They're still in their infancy and they still have a long way to go. And for production work, that could be a huge problem. Huge problem. So having the back end support for the known problems with DSLRs and the known solutions, battery handles, battery grips, remotes, external gear, plugs, wires, everything you need is there. Now, in 3 years, 4 years, when I make some money, I'll plop down $10,000 for a mirrorless when they've caught up, when the technology has caught up. When Tesla gets their battery problem solved, yeah, I'll sign up for a Tesla like that. It's not a problem. But until they figure out that, yes, they're going to have to make either a rechargeable road, interstate, across America, or they're going to have to change the gas stations, every one of them, over to battery swap centers, where you drive in and the battery gets, they change out the battery, takes 2 minutes, and then you're back on the road. Until they can figure that out, it's just not worth it. 'Cause when it does finally happen, all of the old Teslas are going to then be useless, and to be, taboo, I'm full-time RV, so I have a Class C, so it drives itself around, and I got rid of my car because I didn't drive it. What were we talking about? I get distracted sometimes. So those two things for the beginner's, my beginner's guide to photography. And I guess I'll start doing this as a regular section. We're going to add a third one. The first one being whatever it was I said the first time. The second one being, two more. Being a good DSLR. No gear with it. Just DA10 out of the box. Few lenses or whatever the equivalent Canon or whatever Fuji is, DSLR, not mirrorless. And then number three, color theory. If you're an adult, your brain generally turns off the things that you don't need. So eventually you start to lose your high range hearing. Either from damage or just unused, not using it. And eventually you start to lose your color range in your vision, which is not, most of the time you don't lose it because of damage or something like that. You lose it because you never use it. I lost a lot of my color range because I just didn't use it. Like I just gotten so used to the world in 50 years that I didn't see the color the way I can now, here today. My color recognition is immensely higher. And now that I've read some good books on color theory and things like that, I feel far more confident. I'm probably like a 4 out of 10 as far as a photographer's need and necessity to recognize color theory. One of the things that helped me the biggest was buying a color wheel. And I would literally just walk around. I still literally walk around with a color wheel, not a camera, and start matching up colors that I see. If I see a blue, I say, what's in the blue triad? Let's see here. Yellow and red. And you look at the Chevron station, across from where I am right now, their logo is white. The letters are white, but it's on a blue banner that turns into a white trim, but also has a red and blue chevron. And that's, they use color theory because they're looking to sell gasoline at 40, 50 cents more than anybody else. Because it's special gas, I guess. I don't know. But then I started watching a lot of videos on hair and makeup and watching how they match color, shape, light, and texture and dark, learning about tint and shade and things like that. And the last one I would say is a beginner's guide to photography. This is the last one, but it literally should be the first thing you buy before you do anything else, because you can take raw pictures with your phone. Lightroom. Subscribe to Lightroom, even if you're only going to do it to learn it. Subscribe to Lightroom and learn. You have so much to learn with Lightroom. Out of on a scale of 1 to 10 with Lightroom, I might be a 2. I see so many theories and stuff going out. I might be a 2, and I screwed up, and I did not buy a decent computer, and now I'm behind on my, I had to buy a computer, because I thought I was going to be able to do it all with my tablet, Android tablet, but it turns out that Adobe doesn't give even the iPads or iPhones, their own company, the access to the desktop versions of their editing softwares, in most cases, or not full versions. And that is so much the biggest part of the iceberg, because nowadays we are editing our own pictures. Back in the day when I was a kid, you would give it to the developer and he would develop the shot and patch it up as needed or as requested. And then you'd get your finished print back, and that was it. That was how it worked. But now you are the darkroom guy. You do all your work. So there it is. My beginner's guide to photography from a 2-year plus 30-year internship veteran guru of the photography industry, which is weird because people get on YouTube, they make one video, and then they say they're an expert guru, or, you know, they kind of position themselves in that they're a guru of anything, skateboarding or whatever. But because you make a decent video, that's really all that matters. Not that you know what you're talking about. I believe I know what I'm talking about because I've made these mistakes. And I probably won't be talking about mistakes that I haven't made yet. Because there is a ton to learn. And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, part of the reason I got into photography is, you know, I'm on the back half of this race here. I'm on the last 20 laps. And, you know, I'm not trying to get rich. I'm not trying to get powerful. I'm not trying to influence the world and whatever. I'm riding this out. You know what I mean? I got more road behind me than in front of me. So, you know, let's have some fun. Learn a new skill. Retrain my brain to see colors and all those sort of things. That's what I'm talking about. That's the good stuff right there. So I think I have an advantage to someone who's 18 or 19 who's looking to pay their rent. You know what I mean? You know, and that's a whole different world and a ton more pressure. But hopefully those 3 or 4 things will help out. Learn Lightroom. I mean, every day, edit a picture, try something new. Color theory, as many books as you can get your hands on color theory. Watch as many oil painting videos and watercolor painting videos that you can. Watch hair and makeup videos, because if you're shooting people, you need to know how to work with models. And take pictures of your family and friends, but go find people who need a free portrait. And then you have to learn, because you're literally directing. You're a director. Telling people how to sit. You're telling people where their beauty is, not where they think it is in the mirror, where they're looking at their image in reverse, but where their beauty actually is. And you're literally doing that job. Which reminds me, I had to go print a bunch of portraits. I forgot. And I print all the free stuff at Walmart. I don't charge them for that. I tell them I am, but I never do. But I don't want them to think that it, you know, out front it's going to be free. And that's the beginner's guide to photography. And I think I'll do that. Because if anything, I am a beginner. And I like that. I like being fresh, new, every day. It's really much nicer than being a comfortable expert that is maybe missing out on some stuff that he really needs to see. I would rather be a beginner than an expert that's missing a lot of the goodness, a lot of the meat in the matter. Oh, what did I do? What have I done? I really haven't taken many pictures. You know, like I said, I'm moving now. Like I was way down in kind of... It's central New Mexico, but much further south. Little tiny town called Belen, 5,000 people. And I literally rode out the first 2 years of the pandemic in this little tiny town. I didn't need to go to work or anything. So the stock pictures were selling. Money was coming in. That wasn't an issue. But if this thing is real, it was better to just disappear until it's gone. That's the ultimate way around it. But I am back in town. I think Albuquerque is about 40 minutes north of where I was, and the population is probably somewhere in the area of 600,000 or 700,000, not quite a million yet, almost a million. Grown quite a bit since I was here last. So, you know, that's good. You know, I'll be one of the base photographers in 20 years when the population really takes off, when California figures out that New Mexico is here and you could buy a piece of land for $1,000 and pay $16 a year in property taxes. I'm not even going to say that again because I don't want to say it too loud. But if you buy a piece of land, you could be set up for some time. Because eventually California is going to go into the water. And where are they going to go? They're going to go to Nevada. They're going to go to Arizona. They're going to go everywhere. You know, what are you going to do? And eventually, they're going to come here. And then, there's a guy out here. Excuse me for a second. There's a fella out here doing... He's got his truck in 4Low. I guess he bought a new Tacoma. Now he's got his truck in 4Low finally. And he's doing his best to crash into my RV, which is super nice. Oh, what are you going to do? Buy some land in New Mexico. That's what you're going to do. Doesn't get any better than that. Where did this guy go? But at any rate, oh God, sometimes the level of stupid is almost phenomenal. What are we talking about? RVs. No. Pictures. I haven't taken many pictures lately. I got some stuff printed, and I am working on my first book. What was it? The Artists of New Mexico. It's yet untitled, but that is the content. Local artists here in New Mexico. Just a book of portraits of them, maybe doing what they want. Just a book of environmental portraits of them with a small, you know, text bio on each page. So that's the first book. I don't know how I'm going to publish it. I have no idea how any of that's going to work, but I'm working on that every day. And tomorrow, I'm going to go out and say hi to some people. I got to figure out how. And here's a bonus, a bonus idea for a beginner photographer. And it is not, because you're in business, and you're not in the business of selling pictures, you're in the business of you. And once you figure out what that means, you'll be successful beyond your wildest dreams. Now, that bonus tip is going to be an app called Calengoo, Calengoo, Calengoo. Now, what that is, it's a calendar app. Many, many years ago, I started using Palm devices. Was it the Handspring Trio, the Palm M500, I think it was. Like the second and third generation of the Palm devices with Palm OS. And I started using the calendar, and my life changed immensely. And it was 100% the credit of that calendar that I still use to this day. Back then, Palm OS had its own calendar app, so that was that. But you could also sync it with the Windows email. What was it? Whatever the Windows mail is, you can sync it with that calendar and use it. All great, great stuff. But then eventually, Palm went away, and we were all scrambling for productivity apps. So we went through tons of apps that were just shite, royal shite. And one of the ones that stood out, and it wasn't really even that expensive, was an app called Calengoo. It has a to-do list. It syncs with Android and probably iPhone. It syncs across the board to all of your devices, because everything has a calendar already, so it's really just kind of capitalizing on your Google Calendar, has a fantastic to-do list. Far better than Windows Calendar. Windows Calendar was very nice, but this is by and far and away greater in many, many different ways. Super happy about it. And I've been using it for probably, it's got to be like 7 or 8 years now. Ever since I had to switch to Android when Palm went under. And I've been using it forever. And it is in fact, one of the seven habits of highly effective people. It's literally one of them, having a calendar and a to-do list. And every morning when I wake up, that is the first thing I do. I check my calendar and see what I'm supposed to be doing so I don't forget and then not show up to where I'm supposed to be or not do the things I need to do. One of the things I always do is there's part of the app where you can tap the screen and then just talk. So when you're driving along and you see a business that you need to go to, you got to go to Gonzalez Roses and, you know, offer your portrait package. And that flexibility, that use will send your business through the roof without a doubt, because you hold yourself accountable and you see what can get done and what cannot get done. It literally shows you in little blocks of time, from midnight to midnight, how much you can literally do. And you start piling stuff into your calendar and you start to see, okay, I can do this, I can do that, but I need an hour between here for travel time, things like that. And you become so much more effective and precise. And when someone says, I want to have a meeting on Wednesday at 10:45, pull up your calendar. Yeah, we can do it, but it has to be at 2:45 because I have a meeting at 9 that's going to run till like 11. So you can really kind of narrow down those things. And has a lot of shared calendars, holidays, things like that. So you know when things are going to be open, when things are going to be closed, when you shouldn't set meetings and stuff like that. And the to-do list is for things that you have to do, but you don't have to be anywhere to do it. So I use the calendar as these are places that I have to be. The to-do list is things that I have to do, but I probably can do them on the phone or the internet or something like that. But it's not a physical requirement for me to be anywhere at a particular time. And when I wake up in the morning, there's probably, it's probably 100, 150 to-dos in there. And I go and whittle it down to probably 10, 15, 20, because that's about all you can do. And then I put stuff in that needs to happen in the future, video edits, things like that. You know, so I stay on track with things. So that is a bonus. That is an absolute bonus. We're going to do these episodes. The Beginner's Guide to Photography, New Guy Edition. Because I'm the new guy here. You know, I'm the new old guy. Old street photographer turned professional photographer. And moving up through the ranks accordingly. Oh, this is a beautiful mountain. But anyways, I hope you're doing well. Hope you're hanging in there. I hope your mental health improves and continues to improve. Because if you're listening to me, you're at least at a rung on the ladder. You know what I mean? So now it just takes a step up, one more step up on the rung to get it done. And I believe you can do that. And nothing has beat up our mental health more than the 21st century. Almost from the start. But anyways, my name is Mike. Thank you for listening. And you have an awesome week.